Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're plunging into the Southeast Asian digital economy today. We're using the latest economy SEA research that's from Google, Temasek, and Bain. Our mission: to figure out why e-commerce is still so fundamental for investors in this huge market. We're talking, what, potentially over $300 billion in gross merchandise value GMV by 2025 across the ASEAN region?
Yeah, it's a massive scale. And we've actually seen private funding nudge up a bit recently, about 15%, hitting $7.7 billion. But the interesting part for investors, I think, is where that money's going. It's heavily skewed.
Skewed how?
Towards late stage deals, you know, Series C, D, E+. Around 80% of the capital landed there. So it tells you investors aren't just throwing money around. They're backing, well, more established players, looking for scale, maybe some stability in a shaky market.
Okay, stability. That makes sense. But here's the thing for you, the investor listening in. Digital financial services, right? DFS, right? Fintech. That sector seems to be soaking up like 45 to 50% of the recent funding. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So if fintech's getting half the cash, why should you still put e-commerce at the center of your strategy? Isn't that yesterday's news?
Not at all. I mean, you have to think about why fintech is attractive there. It's built on something. E-commerce is that stable scale. It provides the massive user base, the transaction flow, basically the foundation for everything else, including DFS.
Okay, so e-commerce is the bedrock.
Exactly. And what we're seeing is consolidation. Fewer, bigger regional companies are dominating, really leveraging their size, their economies of scale. That's their advantage.
And what's powering their growth? I hear video commerce is just exploding.
Oh, absolutely. It's the main growth engine right now. Projections show it could grab like 25% of all e-commerce GMV by 2025. Think about that, was less than 5% back in 2022. Just 3 years? That's a huge shift in how people shop. You can't ignore that.
A quarter of the market. Wow. What's behind that surge? Big ticket items.
Actually, no. It's the opposite. It's all about volume. Sheer transaction volume shot up 50% year over year. But because it's often lots of small, maybe impulse buys, it's dragged the overall average order value, the AOV, down.
How far down?
Well, for video commerce specifically, the AOV is hovering around $6 or $7 per order. Compare that to the overall e-commerce average, which is more like $11 to $13.
Wait a second. $6 an order. Isn't that a potential problem for margins? Logistically, that sounds expensive relative to the profit. A red flag for investors.
You'd think so, but maybe not a red flag. It's more like a strategic choice. It's about building loyalty and frequency through trust. See, the whole creator economy, which drives video commerce, runs on trust. Authenticity is key.
Authenticity. How so?
Consumers are tuning out big celebrity ads. They prefer recommendations from, you know, niche creators, micro-influencers they feel a connection with. Someone authentic. That trust translates into frequent, smaller purchases, high volume.
Okay, I get the trust part. But sustaining that, I saw a stat. The top 1,000 creators are doing a median of over 30 live streams a month.
Mm.
30. That sounds less like authentic connection and more like, well, grinding to feed an algorithm.
Mm.
Doesn't that pressure risk undermining the very trust it relies on?
That's a really good point. There's definitely a tension there. But for now, it seems consumers are still buying in, literally. And the platforms, they're leaning into this traffic. They're using AI quite heavily now.
AI? How's that playing out?
It's becoming the new competitive edge. Things like hyper-personalized recommendations, smoother checkouts. Around 62% of shoppers in the region said AI features influence their recent purchases. So it's clearly working to convert that traffic.
Right, converting the traffic. And that brings us to monetization beyond just selling the product itself, doesn't it? Like these retail media networks, RMNs.
Exactly. RMNs are a huge piece of the profitability puzzle now. They're growing incredibly fast. You're looking at maybe a $3 billion market size soon.
And how do they work, essentially?
Think sponsored product listings, ads directly on the e-commerce site or app. It lets the platforms monetize all that traffic they're generating, the eyeballs, the clicks, without relying solely on the often thin margins from selling the actual goods. It's high margin revenue.
Got it. High margin revenue streams layered on top of that high volume.
Precisely. It makes those big platforms much more resilient and financially attractive, even if their average order value looks low at first glance. It shows why that e-commerce stability is so crucial, even while fintech grabs those big investment headlines.
Okay, so let's wrap this up. The key takeaway for you listening is, yes, fintech, DFS, it's attracting nearly half the investment dollars right now. Big numbers. But don't overlook e-commerce. It's the engine. Driven by this, well, massive wave of video commerce, AI optimization, and new revenue like RMNs, it's the stable scaled foundation the whole ASEAN digital economy is built on.
Absolutely. But it leads to a fascinating question going forward, especially for investors evaluating these platforms. This whole high volume, low AOV model driven by video, it hinges entirely on that perceived authenticity, that trust between consumers and creators. So the question becomes, how do you evaluate platforms that are integrating AI deeper and deeper, pushing hyper-personalization, maybe even automating parts of the creator interaction? Is there a point where that efficiency drive, that AI integration, starts to erode the very trust that the entire model is built on? That's the tightrope they have to walk. Something to think about.